Blog Talk Radio.
Turnbuckle Turmoil fans, welcome to another episode here on Turnbuckle Turmoil. Before we get started, some show notes. If you're looking for wrestling today, CW from Hollywood in Port Huneme, California, KDW in Jeffersonville, Indiana at the arena, ECW in Houma, Louisiana, First Wrestling in Minneapolis, Minnesota, PWX in Gastonia, North Carolina, Zone 1 Wrestling in Greensboro, North Carolina, PCW in Cleveland, Ohio, PWE in Oshawa, Ontario, Battle War in Montreal, Quebec, and ACW happening in Austin, Texas, and up in our neck of the woods, NWA Blue Collar Wrestling, featuring the World's Heavyweight Championship being defended in Portland, Oregon at the North Portland Eagles. I'd also like to take a moment here to say happy birthday to the late Tommy Gilbert, whom we all miss down here. Also, happy birthday to Mama Sangai. It is her birthday today as well. And also, we have the very unfortunate duty to announce the passing of Jimmy Superfly Snuka. So before we get started with the interview, we'll hit the 10 bell for the Superfly. Fans, we have with us, speaking of NWA Blue Collar Wrestling in Portland, one of the owners of said company. We have with us Patty Dietz. Patty, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thanks for inviting me.
Our pleasure to have you on here. And since, unbelievably, it is your first time with us here on Turnbuckle Turmoil, that means you get the first-timer's question. What led to you getting into the business of professional wrestling?
Well, I've been watching wrestling, Portland wrestling, since I was 11. I was down at the Army where they first started. So I've kind of always kept the Portland area in my mind. When I worked for the Portland wrestling for years, at when it moved to the sports arena, which was the old Chautauqua Bowling Alley. And I just kept following it, and it kind of died out a little bit. It wasn't big crowds anymore, and I had the opportunity to go watch Blue Collar Wrestling and DOA at the same time because they wrestled the same day, and I ended up going over more to Blue Collar Wrestling because they were more old school, which what I was brought up with, and had an opportunity to buy in, and I did.
When you worked for the original Portland Wrestling with Don Owen, what was it like working for that company, which was a full-time, seven-day-a-week wrestling company, as opposed to Flash Forward and you own part of NWA Blue Collar, which is a weekly-ran independent promotion?
Well, when I worked for the Owens, we only wrestled on Saturday night and then once a month on Tuesday night. I was running the beer garden and that for them and doing the cleanup after the wrestlers had left the building, the showers and stuff. But it's different. there's a lot of extra pressure that because I was working the jobs I worked for them, I never got deep in the hole of the wrestling. So there's a lot of headaches that go with it. I won't tell a lie. I said, you know, you go from week to week wondering if somebody's going to be able to make it or making sure nobody gets hurt. It's always a stress on your mind and that the show goes over well and that they perform well. And they've been taking it over the top for quite a while now. So they've been, and a lot of the old school is mixed in. You do have to have some of the new stuff too, but basically we're the really old school. I don't see anybody else that's doing that much of it. So kind of right down where I came out of. So.
Now, since you bought into the company, the last couple of years, NWA Blue Collar Wrestling, of course, has become an affiliate of the NWA, something that Don Owens was part of for pretty much all of his run. What has it been like for you as a promoter being able to call your brand an NWA affiliate and being part of the largest affiliated program and the most recognized in the world?
Well, that goes back to when I worked for Don Owens. I had no idea exactly, except that they had what I would call a wrestling convention every year in Las Vegas. I knew nothing of it. I did get the opportunity to go last year and to meet people from all the other affiliates in the NWA, find out how large it was again. And I'm really proud that we're doing really well and we're the only ones in the Northwest. And we're back where I think it should be. I would love to see wrestling just really totally go off the wall like it did before. And try to work, keep the crowds up, you know, make it interesting, keep the connections with the NWA, and I report to them our card and our wins and losses every week. And if they have any questions, they're very nice about getting a hold of me and asking me, you know, what went on or what happened or why aren't we doing that. So it's involved and it makes me feel good that even though we're out here and they're back there, that they care enough about what happens about here to get a hold of me. So it's nice.
Today, the NWA World Heavyweight Champion Tim Storm is defending his title against the NWA Continental Champion Bad Blood. It's the first defense of the NWA World Heavyweight title in Portland in way over 20 years, I believe. What does it mean for yourself as a promoter to get something of that magnitude into your company?
Well, it makes me really proud, and it's not so proud. I am proud of my company, so don't take this wrong, but I feel very honored that they picked one of our wrestlers to wrestle the world champion. And it just it shows that we're actually doing a good promotion, that they wanted to come out here. And I know it's been years because I do believe the last time I worked for the Owens shortly before they closed down, Ric Flair was the world champion. And there's a big space in between there, you know. So I did quit working for them a couple of years before they closed down, though, because it was when WWF started getting really popular at that time. So disappointed. I hate to bring this up, but very sorry to hear about Jimmy Snuka today because he started out in our promotion when he started with Cowboy Frankie Lane was his partner. And I'm very sad to hear that he had passed today.
Absolutely. Superfly Jimmy Snuka, a legend, not only in all of wrestling, but especially here in Portland, where he had legendary battles with the likes of Apache Bull Ramis, Jesse Ventura, Buddy Rose. Oh, we're definitely going to miss Jimmy Snuka up here.
Yes, most definitely. But I'm glad he's in peace now. He's been suffering. So.
Absolutely. He's been sick for quite a while, so hopefully he's at rest now.
Yeah.
Another company that in the last year or so has sort of been attached to blue collar wrestling informally is Ring of Honor. You've had a lot of talent from Ring of Honor that are active members of that roster come into NWA blue collar. Kevin Sullivan, BJ Whitmer, Kelly Klein, Jason Kincaid, Will Huckabee, several members of that company, which is a nationally televised wrestling company. What's been the connection like between blue collar wrestling and Ring of Honor, if there is a connection? And is the Ring of Honor talent coming in something that you've been consciously trying to get into blue collar wrestling, or is it a happy coincidence?
No, we all think that all promotions should be, you know, that are affiliated or want to be working together. We don't feel that there should be any animosity between companies. And so our guys, one of our guys has been up there wrestling for them a couple times, and they have come down here and they do seminars down here, and their seminars are very worthwhile. A lot of instruction for the boys that they need. And even the wrestlers that have been wrestling for lots of years, like Bad Blood and Tex Thompson and them, they will all tell you, I know a lot about wrestling, but I'll never know it all. So all the things that they come down and talk to the boys about and stuff, it makes their game better also. So we're always
Absolutely.
Glad to work with them. And they're glad to come down. They seem to get, you know, be very happy to be with us. So.
Oh, I mentioned Kelly Klein earlier. She's one of a few very well-known women wrestlers that have come into the company. Just very recently, you introduced the brand new ladies' championship belt to Sunny Days, the current NWA Pacific Northwest ladies' champion. I know she's got some big things on the horizon. There's lots of challengers that won that title. But can you tell us a little bit about the women's division and some of the girls that have been coming in to challenge Miss Days?
Yes, there has not been a women's division out here. I'm not sure if there ever actually was one. I remember wrestling women coming in to wrestle once in a while at the sports arena, but mostly it was the midgets. And so it's a hard job being up there because everybody wants your belt. And Kelly Klein, Casey Carlisle, they're all real strong wrestlers too. But Sunny Days is up to the challenge whenever they come up. So I'm anxious to see her. We thought we had a match set for next week, but it got canceled because of all the weather and stuff. So we're working on waiting for them to come in. So they're calling. So I can't give you a date right now, though. But
fair enough. Now, one of the biggest thorns in the side of Miss Days has been Crashella. They've had a number of battles. QT Vokes is one of his favorite sports entertainers is Crashella. She's become something of a phenomenon at the North Portland Eagles. What's it been like seeing the rise of Crashella?
Well, you know, Crashella is what she is, and she's very entertaining to the fans and stuff, and she's a very good worker, really wants the belt, tries to steal it all the time if she can't win it. So it just makes a very entertaining match, and it makes a good, you know, traditional match too, because they're both more of the traditional wrestling from the years gone by, the old school. So, but she's really after me all the time to go for a belt match every time. So, but that's probably coming up because she hasn't had a chance to actually have the title for a little while. So, well, I think she did have one a couple weeks ago, though, that we put all title matches on the card. And but she didn't win that one either, so she did try to steal it again. But she's a very good worker.
She certainly is, and she even attacked Sunny Days after their match last week. following Sonny's victory, so I'm sure that's not over yet.
Oh, no. I'm sure it isn't.
One of the
go ahead. Sorry.
One of the things that is always in the back of a promoter's mind is the chance of injury during a show. It's the risk everybody that steps into a ring takes. There's been a few unfortunate injuries over the years at Blue Collar Wrestling, of course. Just for your own personal point of view, what's been the scariest injury that you've seen there, and what goes through your mind as the promoter when you see an injury?
Well, I can actually think of two of them that were very, very bad. Darkness was catching bad blood coming through the rope, and he had not planted his foot right and snapped his leg, and he's still out. Will probably be out till April, and that was in July. So it broke his leg in the middle. And the other injury that I thought was very severe, that we had a wrestler that hit his head so bad that it split it way open, and he still has a 3-inch scar below his hairline, and we had a hard time getting that to stop bleeding, even to bandage it. And so that was kind of scary because he was really covered with blood. But you know, in this business, if one of our wrestlers broke his nose, got out of the ring, set his nose, and went back and finished his match. So there's always small things if they're not real big things. And it worries me all the time. Last week, one of the wrestlers was thrown onto a table, and that even worries me. Our tables are plastic, but you still worry about, did they land on their arm right? Did they land on their shoulder? Did they do this? It's just a very, that's why you carry good insurance. So that's all I can say. They do happen. And I know people say, oh, wrestling's fake. Well, I can go down a list of injuries that have happened since I've been there in the last 2.5 years. Some of them major, some of them minor. But it's there. It's for real. So.
I'd be glad to provide them copies of the x-ray of my skull if they would like.
I bet. That's another thing. Can sometimes very hard detect at the beginning, like the one we thought we had last week, but by the time he got ready to leave, I checked his eyes again, and his pupils were both the same size. But I still told him to take it easy because he probably still had a slight one. It just wasn't big enough to notice in the change. So, yep, it's not an easy life like everybody thinks it is. It's not a square dance party, I tell you.
Not even when the moonshiners are out there and they love to square dance.
I know. Well, his cousin Jameson was the one that got his nose broke, actually, and got out of the ring and reset it and went back and finished his match that one night. So, yep, not always a party.
Nope. Luckily, Jameson has been able to set a few noses in that locker room. I can confirm that.
Yes, he has. And I'm glad he knows how, because they're not crooked. I mean, he sets them right. So.
Very useful skill that he has there.
Yes.
One of the underestimated components in wrestling oftentimes is the role of the referees. A lot of promotions will send just anybody they have walk by into the ring as a referee, and it can definitely affect matches and make good matches into bad ones. NWA Blue Collar has had some fine officials over the years. There's a lot of traditionally great referees that have come through this region going back to Don Owens. Who do you think are some of the finer officials that you've seen in all of the years watching Portland wrestling?
So, of course, I'd have to bring up Sandy Barr from Don Owens. And he would be the one that strikes me the most. There was another gentleman, I can't remember his name right now, that did a pretty good job back then. Right now, my best referees, I have three of them. and I'm not going to say this is number one, number two, number three, but it would be you, Sign Guy, it would be T-Rex, and it would be Dylan at this point. I have another guy that's really good. His name is Daniel, and if he has to fill in, he will, but he is also our announcer, so he hasn't been able to do that. But it does take a good referee to make the difference between the match. I can tell you that, whether it's a good match or a bad match. The referee's the leader of the show.
Absolutely. Well, at this time, my co-host QT is standing by, so does help you as I pass things along to QT for a while.
Okay, thank you, Sign Guy.
Well, thank you, Sign Guy. Hello, Patty.
Hi, how are you?
Oh, I'm doing pretty good. Patty,
awesome.
We usually open up the second part of the show with the standard question, what's the hardest knife-edge chop you've received at Blue Collar Wrestling? Well, what's the hardest knife-edge chop you have received, and have you received an honorary knife-edge chop yourself?
I don't believe so. For some reason, I'm not understanding totally what you're asking me.
Well, have you ever received a knife-edge chop from a blue-collar wrestler yourself, a knife-edge chop? Sometimes wrestlers spill out of the ring, and sometimes their wild swings can involve a blue-collar wrestling fan. Yes.
Oh, yeah. Okay, I get you now. Yes, I have.
Oh.
I've involved a couple things.
Can you tell us who in blue-collar wrestling knife-edge chopped you?
That would have been Petrov.
Oh, okay. Gregor Petrov. I could see him doing that. Okay. Very good.
Yeah.
Were you able to withstand this knife-edge chop by Gregor Petrov and remain standing and then stare at Gregor Petrov with a Hulk Hogan wild-eyed look and then point at him and say, you? Were you able to do that?
It happened to be in the wintertime, so I had extra clothing on. So, yes, I did, because it didn't go through all my clothing. I had a shirt and a sweatshirt and my jacket on, because they had the door open all day in the building for the flea market. It was like about probably 40 degrees, maybe 50 in there at that time. It takes a long time to get the heat back up in that building. And he was one of the earlier matches. We also have a standing arms up thing for him when I – you know, he does stuff like that, that I just give him the stiff arm. So he does things every once in a while. So it might not necessarily be me, but I'll give him the stiff arm when he does it, because he knows that he shouldn't have done that. So.
Oh, okay. All right. Very good. Very good. Okay. All right. Well, Patty, do you have any dishes at your restaurant that are named after restaurants? I mean, after wrestlers. Like a Diafoleth double cheeseburger or an Aries Toretta bacon, lettuce, and tomato on sourdough?
Oh, no, but I should. Actually, the menu that I have right now, we haven't changed it for a couple of years. I change mine every 2 years, like in July and August, because the pilots who are the team from the University of Portland that took the championship 2 years ago, we have a pilot, a country omelet, and we have a pilot burger. And then we have my own veggie wrap, because there's not a lot of vegan people. There's people in St. John's, but I didn't have anything on my menu but a veggie burger. And so we started doing that kind of stuff, and we do a veggie sandwich, you know, but all the burgers, it kind of got their own name, I guess, but like the Gutbusters got everything on it. But that's a good idea. I think maybe when I redo that in July, that will be probably what I'll do.
Wow. Well, Patty, may I suggest that you announce at intermission tonight at Blue Collar Wrestling that you are going to run a contest that is sponsored by Turnbuckle Turmoil and Sign Guys Wrestling Show to name a burger after a wrestler. Can you do that at intermission tonight at Blue Collar Wrestling?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Wow, this is going to be huge. Okay.
Name a burger for Patty.
Yes. Oh, okay. Well, Patty, do you have any plans to shoot a commercial about your restaurant with any Blue Collar wrestlers? And if you want music in this commercial, would it be with ABBA?
I can't totally answer the other half. I do know that that's what we're working on, and Nelson, has just purchased some more equipment for us to go other places and take good videos. So that would be probably coming up pretty shortly.
Wow, a commercial, okay. All right.
Yeah.
All right, can you tell our Turnbuckle Turmoil listeners, when you started work at Patty's Home Plate, were you the sole proprietor and investor?
It was me and my husband, but he passed away 9.5 years ago, and so I still am the sole proprietor. That was in 1998.
Okay.
So my goal was to make it 20 years.
What was that? You were what?
I said my goal is, I'm going to be 72 pretty soon, so my goal is to, if I ever decide to retire working at all, it would be in, if I hit the 20 mark in that restaurant, because for a small, it used to be a Rexall drugstore, so I had a little bitty lunch counter, and over half the building is restaurant now. So my goal is to at least make a 20-year anniversary if I do retire. I'm too active to retire at this point or even think about it. So.
Wow, okay. All right. Now, Patty, were you there 3 weeks ago when Sign Guy was at Blue Collar Wrestling, and he was in the ring with Gregor Petrov and Buddy Holly when they asked Sign Guy to do the Fargo strut, or the
yes.
Ric Flair strut?
Right. Yes, I was. I'm always there.
Oh, okay. Well, in your opinion, did Sign Guy do the strut correctly? That's my question.
Well, remember, yes. But at my age, my memory might be a little bit rusty, but I think he did it perfect.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, has Sign Guy ever made any pin counts that were too slow, thus giving a second chance to the Moonshiners to capture tag team gold? Has Sign Guy's slow count in any way given the Moonshiners an edge in any matches that you can remember?
Not that I have noticed, but, you know, I'm not always up front. Sometimes I have to go to the back and rework things if something isn't working out right. So, to my knowledge, never. Never.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay. Well, Patty, at the opening of our show, we gave Jimmy Superfly Snuka a 10 bell for his passing. Did you ever have a chance to meet Jimmy Snuka and talk with him?
Oh, yes. Yeah. Lots of times.
Did he ever confide in you the time when he was in Piper's Pit and Roddy Piper broke the coconut over his head?
That he did not.
Oh, okay.
I happened to. That was on TV. That was, you know. But, no, but when he started out, he was not with us really anymore. He was with WWF by the time the Owens were, when I quit them a couple of years before they closed. And so, but when he first came in, you know, we all met at the snack bar at the end of the night after everybody was out of the building, except who was setting up for the flea market the next day for Sandy. And we all had conversations together. He was very well spoken. I mean, he never was rough or mean, or I could tell you a few of them that are. And Betty Rose was one of them. Matt Bourne was another. I had problems with him. You know, there's just a couple of them that were not as friendly, I guess is the word. I mean, they had their persona and kept it with them until they probably left the building and was gone. It's like, I'm going to tell you this, when We did a memorial at the sports arena. The church that's there now helped us for Rowdy Piper. And I went there. And, of course, Billy Jack was there. And there was a gentleman standing next to him that I did not recognize. And so I went up to Billy Jack and I said, "Hi, Billy, I'm Patty. I don't know if you remember me. I worked for the Owens, did the showers and the locker room, and I ran the beer garden, and we always sent beer up for them at night at the end of the matches." But and he said, "No." And I said, "Well, you never spent any time in the beer garden, so you probably just, it kind of went in and out." And as I turned to walk away, the guy next to him says, "Huh, funny she doesn't remember me." Well, I found out later it was the grappler. And honestly, he had to wear that mask in the building, and he had to leave with it on. I never seen him without a mask on, so I didn't recognize his face. And he didn't speak, or I would have recognized his voice. He's a very distinct voice. But going to Cauliflower Alley last year, we ended up having a conversation. There was about six of us standing around in the casino talking. And I said, "I am very sorry that I did not recognize you, and this is the reason why." So, you know, he said, "Oh, that's okay." I understand. But, yeah, things like they were never allowed to leave the building or come in. If they wore a mask, they had to wear it into and out of the building. So.
Wow. Well, Patty, now some of those most famous lucha wrestlers in Mexico throughout the years, and I'm thinking about the Blue Demon, wore their wrestling match masks in public, and they were rarely seen with it off. And I believe that the Blue Demon was buried in his blue lucha mask. Yes.
Probably.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Patty, you mentioned that you had problems with Rip Oliver and Buddy Rose. Did they ever try to dine and dash at Patty's home plate?
Oh, no, that would have been long. Rip Oliver's in Florida, and that would have been many years before I ever got the restaurant. So,
oh, okay.
I actually never had any trouble with Rip Oliver, his Buddy Rose, and Matt Bourne. So.
Oh, okay. All right, well, Patty, you pass out brochures at the Blue Collar Wrestling shows. That show, that night's lineup of wrestlers, and they only cost a dollar. Inside
Correct.
These cards that show the lineups, you find a number, and if this number is called, you get a free hot dog. I myself have had this number called at intermission. Is it true that Bob Hardy has never had his number called?
That is absolutely true, because Bob Hardy only wants one number, and that number is no longer in a service number. And that's why he wanted that number. And actually, if your number is called off the program, off the card, you get two free tickets to the next show. The pink star, we do a pink star on the back for a free hot dog at the concession stand on one number. And we do a blue star for $10 off your purchase at my restaurant, on top of giving the two free tickets away.
Yes, when my number was called and I had the pink star, there was a banana split giveaway. And that was about 2 years ago. Yes.
Uh-huh.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, well, I just do $10 off your purchase because most everybody comes in with somebody. So their bill is usually anywhere between $14 and $20, depending upon what they eat. And so that gives them $10 off now. So.
Wow, okay, all right. Now, Patty, is the number that Bob Hardy requests, are the two numbers the number 13 or the number 666?
13.
Oh, 13, okay. All right, 13, okay. Now, to your knowledge, has Bob Hardy ever received the coveted Turnbuckle Turmoil hostess fruit pie for being ranked number one in that week's Northwest Wrestler Rankings? Has Bob Hardy ever received one?
I think he did at one time. I'm trying to think, it was something that they did for him, but right now it's like I'm trying to think. My memory sometimes fails me. It's I'm not sure. I know we've bought him, we have bought him shirt, you know, that says my name is Bob, and we, Gary, one of our guys that helped do our embroidery on our shirts, had passed away, and he had made him a shirt also before he passed away. So we love Bob to death, and without Bob, I'm sure some of the wrestlers would not be able to get there. He has been a very staunch man on helping out in for the wrestling venues all over, not just with us. So.
Wow, okay, all right. Well, Patty, have you yourself ever received the coveted Turnbuckle Turmoil Fruit Pie for being ranked yourself as the number one wrestler in the Pacific Northwest?
I don't believe so.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, Patty, there seems
I did get
to
a football, though. I did.
Oh, yeah.
You see, I did get a football. I still have it.
Oh. Well, did any of the Turnbuckle Turmoil or Sign Guys Wrestling Show staff pass you out this football?
Yeah, I think it was you. You brought it to the show and gave it to me in a bag.
Oh, was it a little brown football? I think I remember
yeah.
now. Oh,
yeah,
okay.
And you had it on. Yeah, it's in my craft room and office.
Oh, now did I take the time to autograph this football?
Oh, yes, you did.
Oh, I did. Okay. There's my ego getting in my way.
That's okay. I wouldn't have taken it until I gave you a pen to autograph it.
Oh, wow. Okay. All right. Well, Patty, there seems to be a growing feud between Kevin Brandt and Paw Moonshine. Are there any truths to the rumor that Kevin Brandt may have stolen Paw Moonshine's walking stick out of his car?
That seemed to be an issue because he used it on him a couple weeks ago.
Oh, yes, he did in the small of the back, if I remember right.
Yeah. Yes.
Small of the back, yeah. Okay.
And I'm not sure if he got it back yet or not. I know there's feud between the two of those.
I hear that, yes. And, Patty, have you ever had a chance to sample backstage from Paul Moonshine's jug that he brings to the ring? Have you ever partaken of the moonshine, the Appalachian?
No, but I smelled it, and that's enough for me.
Oh, okay. Oh, all right. Well, Patty, you have several fans that are there week after week, mostly without fail. And if they do miss, it's usually because of the weather or family emergency. One of these fans is superfan Marion. Do you usually take the time each week to greet Marion?
Oh, yes. Her and I are real good friends. She picked up the name after Ringside Rosie died at the Portland Sports Arena as Mean Marion Martin. And we've been friends for years. I talk to her every time she gets there. You know, so I made sure she wanted the dress. I don't know if you were aware of this. Do you remember when Petrov lost the match and had to wear a dress to work in my restaurant?
Yes, I did. Yes, I do. Yes.
She wanted that dress so bad that she bought it from him and washed it and wore it the next week to the show. And she told him, I'm going to marry you. But she told that to everybody.
Can you tell our Turnbuckle Turmoil fans what Marion paid for the dress that Gregor Petrov had to wear at your restaurant? What was the final price?
Yeah, it was cheap. It was cheap, $20.
Well, Gregor Petrov himself is pretty cheap in his clothing, I could say. Yes, pretty cheap. Not much of an expensive outfit.
Yeah, I'll tell you. He went to a seminar, and then he goes to all of them. I will give him credit for that. He goes to every seminar that we have and sometimes at other venues, WCWC down in Salem. He was to the last one there. And he was going to go to the one up in Washington this weekend, but the snow kept everybody from getting up there. But we are working on psychology with the men right now, and it's one day of the training. And I was shocked when he came out with trunks on. I did not see that whole match. It was not appreciated by me because I heard about it. I was in the back when this happened. But his inner psychology of wearing the standard old trunk is that he wants to get his body down where it looks good in him. And this has given him the drive to do it by wearing the trunks and trying to in his mind, make himself do what he needs to do to get rid of the excess weight that he carries around the middle. So some of the psychology is sinking in, evidently. So.
Oh, okay. All right. Very well said. Okay. Well, Patty, I have to tell, are you a big fan of Sign Guy's Sign of the Times that are published every Saturday and put on YouTube, Sign of the Times by Sign Guy?
I've had a lot of changeover in my restaurant, so I really haven't had a chance to go on there on Saturdays and pick that up for the last quite a while. So it's been a different year for me. I've probably had more changeover and help this year the last 5 months than I've ever had in the whole 18 years I've been in that business. So a different age group of kids and not, would you say, dependable? You know, they're just kind of, well, I got this job today and maybe I'll have that one tomorrow. I mean, they don't seem to care whether they're on time for work, do their job right when they're there and stuff. So it's just been a headache for me. So I can honestly say I have not read that much on YouTube or watched it. So.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, now there's been a wrestler out of the Northwest, specifically from Bremerton, Washington. His name is El Ringo Tortuga, and he's been a frequent guest on the Sign of the Times. And about 3 weeks ago, El Ringo Tortuga was sitting close to you at Blue Collar Wrestling when superfan Marion snatched the wig off the table that was near him, and she stuffed it down her pants. BCW security was looking very nervous. Did you see the near riot that Marion almost caused when she stole El Ringo Tortuga's wig off of him and stuffed it down her pants?
I didn't see all of that, but I heard what went on. Once again, I was in the back. I always seem to get called in the back room, and then I miss something good, you know? And I won't say that's exactly good, but I'm saying that I should be out front to be able to catch that stuff, and I can't be all the time. If there was two of me, I'd be perfect. So.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right. All right, well, Patty, what's the biggest tip you have ever received from a blue-collar wrestler, and was the tip 50% of the original cost of the meal price?
Oh, you know what? I actually do not work the restaurant side that much anymore. I mostly do just bring, you know, I'll go to the wholesale house and bring in the groceries and stuff because I have a big gift shop on the other side at the other half of the store. And I've been trying to change that over to a craft store because there's none out in this area. And so, except for Michael's, but people in St. John's don't like to drive to Michael's just to get a skein of yarn or crochet hook or a pair of knitting needles or some fabric or something. So I'm in the process of changing that over. So I really could not tell you. You would have to talk to one of my waitresses that works when they come in. But I know they do tip.
Oh, okay. So. All right, they do tip. Okay, very good. All right. Okay. Well, Patty, did Northwest Wrestling legend Dutch Savage ever stop in at Patty's home plate? Dutch Savage?
No. But him and I had a really good rapport. So, and not only that, Luke Brown, who is his brother, used to, once we had to check ID all the time because we were selling hot dogs and rope licorice and pepperoni and stuff like that, that the kids could come and get. We had to make sure that all the ID was checked and they had an adult with them when they came to the beer garden. And so we always had a good rapport working, like Luke and I together, and then Dutch and Luke and I. It was one of those things where we all met up at the snack bar again and talked about the night show and blah, blah, blah. So.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, Patty, blue collar wrestling referee T-Rex has recently told me that he is thinking of getting into stand-up comedy, kind of a stand-up comedy routine like Jerry Seinfeld or Jay Leno. T-Rex always seems to have a slight scowl on his face when he is in the ring refereeing, a very serious demeanor about him, kind of like what Sam the Eagle had on The Muppet Show. Do you think that blue-collar wrestling referee T-Rex would be a good stand-up comedian, and are you willing to give him one of his first gigs at Patty's home plate for a tryout?
Yes, he would be welcome to do that. I don't know, because honestly, working with him on Sundays for wrestling and stuff, he is always on the serious side. So I know when they've come into my restaurant and eat that he has joked around more. That's the only time I've ever seen him joking around. Usually he's dead serious when it concerns wrestling. So he might make it. I think he's got a couple gigs up in Longview, where he's living right now, set up. I think they have a thing like the Harvey's Comedy Club where the Grappler and Rowdy Piper and Jake the Snake and them have performed, but it's not in the same scale class as what Longview has because they're a smaller town. So he might make it. One never knows.
Are you saying that Jake the Snake Roberts performed a comedy routine in Longview, Washington?
No, in Portland, at Harvey's Comedy
Portland.
Club. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
What I'm saying
is
nothing up in Longview has got as big a venue as Harvey's Comedy Club down here. So whatever level they are up there, they'd be a smaller scale than Harvey's Comedy Club. He would know whether he made it if he did a couple shows there.
Oh, okay. Well, now, one of the best comedy routines I ever saw was when the Magnificent Morocco and Mr. Fuji had a comedy team. Did you happen to see this famous clip of Don Morocco and Mr. Fuji comedy team?
I believe I do, but I could not tell you what it's about. I believe I did watch that on TV.
I would pay myself big money to see T-Rex and Bob Hardy form kind of like a comedy routine like Don Morocco and Mr. Fuji and try to reenact that scene. Yes, huge money.
Yeah, that would work.
With T-Rex, of course, playing the part of Mr. Fuji, yes.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, all right. Well, Patty, what's the best joke that T-Rex has ever told you? Can you remember? That's Joe.
Well, like I said, he's always very serious with me, so I can't think of a joke that he's told me. He probably has, but always in a serious tone of voice when we're at the arena, at the venue. So.
Oh, all right. Well, Patty, I'd like to take this moment to tell you, IQT votes to tell you my favorite childhood joke. Are you ready?
Sure.
What do you get when you run a bird over with a lawnmower?
I have no idea.
Shredded wheat.
That is true.
Yes. Okay. Well, Patty, you have on your card tonight a young wrestler who I happened to see at Portland Wrestling Uncut. When Roddy Piper was there, a young Dominic Hess that was just almost like a freshman in high school who was refereeing, and Roddy Piper took the time to say to the fans, now let's give a hand to this young Dominic Hess. He's done a great job as a referee where he was just starting to referee some of his first matches at the tender age of, I believe, when he was 14 at the time. Now, tonight, he is on your card. Have you seen many matches of Dominic Hess in action, or will this be your first time?
No. As I said, and I had to tell him, the first viewing I had of him was at DOA at University Park Community Center. and he was really young then. And they kidnapped him away. The Illuminati kidnapped him from his dad. And that was a challenge for several weeks to get him back. And so that was my first viewing of Dominic. And then going to a couple of DOA shows, I've seen him wrestle. Mostly they put him in like battle royals, and he might have been the second or third person out, sometimes the first. And he did ask to come over and wrestle, if he could wrestle for us, because he wanted to wrestle. He just didn't want to be in a big free-for-all all the time. And so he's been helping one of our tag teams. And then on the outside of the ring, doing what they do. But tonight he will be in the ring against one of our wrestlers. So we'll see how he does. He's young. Well, some of them are all young, but they're up and coming. Some of them are stronger than the others. So, you know, I know his dad from DOA and stuff too. So I'm going to see. I'm hoping to watch
that. Could you give us a hint of who he might be going up against? Would it be C.J. Edwards' Little Chocolate Drop?
Actually, it's Aries Toretto.
Oh, the person with the leg warmers, the 1980s leg warmers. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, okay. Now, Patty, can you confirm that Derek Drexel of the Illuminati was involved in the kidnapping of Dominic Hess?
Yeah, I was there the day they did it.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah, very interesting.
Okay.
All
right. I said earlier, and I don't know, I might have been talking to Sign Guy. When I first got really deep, I would go to Sandy Bar's up at the garage once in a while, and then when Josh took it over, I went there a few times. It was 7 blocks from my home. I could walk up there. But then when they quit, I went to DOA first because I happened to know Kevin Brandt. I went to school with his brother Michael, and he was telling me that was going on, so I went over there. And I could go to their show and see almost of all their show except the main event and leave there and go to Blue Collar Wrestling before we joined NWA and see the last good matches there. So.
Oh, well, okay, Patty. Well, I do hope that you will pass on to Tex Thompson tonight that you're thinking of naming a hamburger at your restaurant after one of the local wrestlers, maybe like the Diafula Debashi Double Cheeseburger or the Aris Toretta Bacon, Lettuce, and Tomato on Sourdough. That'd be good. And hopefully things will get the ball will start rolling to have T-Rex do a one of his first ever stand-up comedy routines at your place, kind of like a tryout. I'd pay huge money to see that.
Well, and I can do that because on Saturday night, since we serve no alcohol at my restaurant, we have karaoke every Saturday night from 5 to 9. And so parents that are split up, like dads that have daughters, they come and the girls can sing. And even a couple of the guys that they have their sons, they come and sing together. So the microphones would be there for him to do like a 10 or 15 minute stand-up thing. So I will talk to my karaoke lady about it the next time he shows up at my restaurant. So
wow.
We can get that going.
Oh, okay. Well, hopefully he'll tell that shredded tweet joke. That'd be great.
Yep.
Oh, okay. Oh, all right. Well, okay. I will hopefully the card will be good there, and hopefully there isn't an El Ringo Tortuga Marion incident tonight. I wouldn't want you to witness any more of that. And I will now pass it over to Sign Guy. Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, QT. Well, Patty, we have a few minutes left of the show today, so I want to give that time to you. If there's anything you'd like to say to the fans listening, plug and promote anything and everything you want, the upcoming shows, merchandising, social medias, anything you'd like, floor is all yours.
Well, I'd like to thank all the fans that are very staunch and stay by us. I would like to see the crowd get a lot bigger, so I'd like you to bring your friends. I will tell you that no matter who we pay to bring in, we never raise our prices. Our prices will always be the $12 for front row, $10 for general, $20 for two adults and two children. If that ticket you want to move to front row just costs you $2 more a piece. And then children 4 to 12 are $5. Military is $5 and students is $5. And I don't think you can get a better show. It's usually 2 to 2.5 hours for the price. So we welcome everybody. We do have an open bar there. We do have a snack bar that's open also. So I'd like to have you all come on down. Enjoy the show.
Well, Patty, it has been our pleasure to have you on Turnbuckle Turmoil today. I will see you in a few hours. And fans, get out there, support your local independent wrestling. The return of the NWA World title tonight to Portland. Huge, huge night for NWA Blue Collar. We will see you out there.
Okay, and thank you very much for inviting me.
Our pleasure. We'll see you after a while.
Okay, thank you. Bye-bye.
I'll get a little bit more of a flavor. Ooh, don't you get a